Hello there, precious child of God. You're welcome to yet another life-changing message from Reverend Sidney Alamensa. Reverend Sidney Alamensa is the head pastor of God is Our Light Church, City of His Presence. He is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a sermon titled, The Little Fox of Fear, and this is part one. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Ikaria sinibu, ikaria sinibu, ikaria sinibu, oh Jesus, ikaria sinibu, imarama, ibiebube, ikaria sinibu, imarama. Come on, worship him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Imarama, ikaria sinibu, idiebube, idiebube, imarama, ikaria sinibu, oh Jesus, ikaria sinibu, Jehovah, ikaria sinibu, oh Jesus, ikaria sinibu, Jehovah, ikaria sinibu, idiebube, imarama, ikaria sinibu, idiebube, imarama, ikaria sinibu. Father, we want to bless your name tonight. Tonight we give you glory. Tonight we honor your name. We give you all the praise, for you are a faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody just clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. I welcome you to the believer service. Amen. I want to believe God that God will bless your heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to continue our series quickly. We are looking at a little fox in a vineyard, but tonight we want to look at the little fox of fear. Somebody say fear. Oh, come on, I can't hear you. Say fear. The little fox of fear. And that's what we want to look at tonight. Amen. And I want us to take our anchor scripture in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Verse 15, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15, King James Version, he says that, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Amen. I want to take that again. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Amen. Man of God, read for me 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, King James Version. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
And I read, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen.
Please take that again.
For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen.
Amen. God has not given us. Can you say that to yourself? I don't have the spirit of fear. Or can you say that again with faith? I don't have the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. And tonight we want to deal with that fear. And I know that most of us, we have, you know, heard a lot of sermons and teachings about fear. Amen. But we want to look at fear as the subject here tonight. And it being a little fox in the vineyard. I do not want to go back, because if you're following the series, you will understand what we mean by vineyard. Hallelujah. And we want to look at that fear. Amen. If you look at the passage in 2 Timothy, it gives us the understanding that there is a spirit of fear. It says that God did not give us what? The spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Now the word spirit, or the word spirit here, as we have read, is it in your Bible? Spirit, is it in your Bible? Is it a capital S or is it a small S? A small S, yes. It's not the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. Amen. So the word spirit here is the fema, which means that it can be something that literally comes from the devil. Hallelujah. It's fema, and it can literally mean something that comes from the devil. Hallelujah. Theologian, in one of his commentary, he said that it indicates that this word can be used by evil spirit that work to do the will of the devil. Are you understanding me? So that word spirit there, it's a negative word. Hallelujah. And I can say that it's a negative spirit. It's a negative word, a spirit. And that negative spirit, what it does is that it preys on the mind. Am I communicating? It preys what? On the mind. And it preys on what kind of mind? It preys on the mind of believers. It preys on the mind of the people of God. Are you understanding me? It's a foul spirit. Somebody say it's a foul spirit. It's indeed that fear, that spirit of fear. It's a foul spirit. And it's that same kind of spirit that appeared in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that when that spirit of fear came upon Adam and Eve, they decided to hide from God. Are you understanding me? And it wasn't like God did not know where they were or where they were hiding. But what did they tell God when God found them? In Genesis chapter 3 verse 10. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 3 verse 10. Genesis chapter 3 verse 10. It says that, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was what? Naked, and I hid what? Myself. Do you see the word afraid there? He said that I was what? Afraid. This is the same kind of spirit that encroach in their space. Are you understanding me? And it's that very kind of negative spirit that affect our mind, affect our emotions, affect our priorities, affect our purposes in life. And it's that little, and I will once again say that it's that creeping monster. Are you understanding me? And I believe that most of us, I'm not sure it's usually a prayer topic. I bind the spirit of fear. No. Hallelujah. I'm not sure it's a kind of, but it's that creeping monster that can destroy your priorities, your vision, and everything. Are you understanding me? Before the first beings, Adam and Eve, before they had to feel that now we need to hide from God, it was the spirit of what? Of fear. They feared. Now all of a sudden, it's like he was not a friend again. Now all of a sudden it was like he's not the kind of person that we talk to in the cool of the day, or we talk to in moment, or we have that intimacy again. All of a sudden they said that we were afraid. How can you be afraid of somebody you have a relationship with all the time? That is the fema there. And it's a negative spirit. It's not a positive spirit. Am I communicating? So fear can be that powerful, you know, that can put its feet on your mind. It is that powerful. I'm telling you. It is that fear can take you out of the presence of God, as it did with Adam and Eve. Are you understanding me? The enemy can put fear in you that he can make you feel that because of your sin, you cannot come before God. Is it not true? He can put fear in you and make you feel that you cannot even worship him because of what? Of your sin. How could these guys just now say we're afraid of you? About 12 hours ago, they were best pals, Adam and Eve and God. But in the next 1 hour, it's like, Daddy, we are afraid of you, and that is why we hate. Are you understanding me? So it's something which is very, very important. And I know that most of you have different kinds of fears. If I'm supposed to do a survey right now, and if I ask you, tell me what you highly fear in your life. Is it height? Is it horror movies? Is it a policeman? Is it when you hear the word devil? Or when you hear God, what do you mostly fear? What's that thing that, you know, some people fear AIDS or HIV. Some people fear people that are lunatic. Most people have some sort of, as you are just listening to me now, just ask yourself, what do I actually fear now? Some people fear that their eyes will be open in the spirit, or they will, their ears will be open for them to hear. Some people fear to get closer to God because the more they get closer to God, the more God reveals himself to them. And the more God reveals himself to them, the more they themselves is being revealed. The light will show everything that is in darkness. It will bring it to light. Are you understanding me? So I believe that most of you have, you know, some sort of fears in your life. But if fear is left alone, it will just reduce people, reduce their ambitions, reduce their priorities, reduce a lot of things. I remember some years ago when we were beginning church in an area before we moved, coming here. There was a lady who said, listen, you said you want to join the choir. We said, that's great. We said, well, you know, we want you to lead. She stopped church, you know, fear. She stopped church. Said, they want to give me something to do in church. I don't want to be part of this, your thing, you know. And then she stopped. See, that's what the spirit, the FEMA can do. That's what the spirit of fear can do. It can just take you to the backside of life. Are you understanding me? Let's read Mark chapter 4, verse 7. The whole goal of the devil is just to use that little fox of fear, you know, to sort of choke our faith, to choke our belief and choke our faith. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. It says that, is it on the screen? Okay. It says that, and some fell among tongues, and the tongues grew up and choked it, and it yielded no what? No fruit. That's what the spirit of fear can do. It can choke the faith from our life. The faith that is gradually growing, fear can what? Can choke it. Fear that there is something remarkable or something great, something spectacular that God wants to do in your life. And fear can what? Can just choke it. Give me 18:19. Say Mark 4, 18:19. It says that what? 18:19. It says that, and these are, man of God, read for me, please.
And these are they which are sown among thorns. Such as hear the word, 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
And it becometh unfruitful. Somebody say spirit of fear. Listen, I let it be, let this be in your, I mean, dedicate a whole week and be praying about it, the spirit of fear. Because if we are not careful, that FEMA can just destroy you from your next level in life. Are you understanding? People cannot go for the next interview, even not only just work interview, an employment interview, but even to the consular, when because they've been denied about two or three times, now there is this fear that says that I cannot do it again. I cannot go. And there are cases where even when somebody will hold your hand and say, I want you to take you and go and meet somebody, he says, no, I can't go. That's how spirit of fear is. And I'm not here to magnify it. I'm here to suppress it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. So fear causes our minds to totally box God out of the equation. And that is what fear does. It let us box God out of what? Out of the equation. And I can say that fear causes us to lose sight of our priorities in life. And sometimes on which we want to focus. Assuming that you had a dream and you saw yourself, you know, in a place, and your interpretation is that God is going to elevate you into managerial position. And you look at yourself now, and you look at your circumstances, and the spirit of fear creeps in and say that, nah, you cannot take that step. I do not believe that you can do it. And you begin to hear voices and it's just speaking to you. Hallelujah. So soon fear leads our mind to a path of doubt of even our destiny. And that's what fear does. And now we begin to doubt our purpose. Now some say, am I really called by God? Am I called by God to do this thing? Is this really my purpose? Like I saw this thing in dreams. Is it fear now? Create the pathway for doubt of even our purposes and our vision. Now it's like, so now like for 5 years, I'm still where I am. I'm not moving. And even when there is an opportunity for elevation, fear begins to crouch in. It chokes what the successes that God is placing in your life. What did Gideon say? Don't talk to me. I'm not that man that can lead the people of Israel. No, don't talk to me. And that's what fear can do. Hallelujah. I knew a guy who said, when he sees a lot of people and he wants to, because he's afraid, and he wants to master and be able to, you know, rule over fear, he'll put his hands in his pocket, you know, and begin to squeeze it small. I don't know what kind of strategy is that. Hallelujah. But I know a strategy, and I know the solution is from the word of God that will help us conquer fear. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone say spirit of fear. You see, if that is a little fox and it comes into your vineyard, it means that it looks for what is growing and it begins to plug it out. So imagine that you have had several visions of this is where you want to be. And a fox, little fox of fear, gets into your vineyard, creeps into your soul. It begins to pluck off that fruit there. Begins to, it will never ripe. As soon as it tries to ripe, it just pulls it. Are you understanding me? People have been disappointed for years. And the spirit of fear has crept in. And because of that, they are afraid to even enter the next relationship of their life because they are afraid that they will be disappointed. Michael Pitchard said something. He said that fear is that little dark room where negatives are developed. Unquote. Fear is that little dark room where what negatives are developed. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said that, and I quote, he said, when a man is defeated by life, it is always due to ultimately to the fact that he is suffering from a spirit of fear. He is suffering from a spirit of fear. And he says that the spirit of fear is the ultimate cause of all failure in life and all unhappiness as well. All failure and all what? Unhappiness. The man who invented the light, what's his name? Thomas Edison. He failed how many times? Several, right? But he managed to keep on. See, ministries would die because of the spirit of fear. Are you understanding me? Visions would die because of that femur. It will kill dreams and it will kill visions. I want you to just tap somebody on your right and say, that spirit of fear is not getting into my life. No. Hallelujah. Paul Tonia said something. He said that fear creates what it fears. Fear creates what it fears. Hallelujah. The word fear occurs in the Bible 400 times in 385 verses. By looking at those verses, we can get great insight of the concept itself and what that fear it is. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. Number one, fear creates bondage. Please write it. Fear, it creates what? Bondage. Please say after me, bondage. Please say after me, bondage. Man of God, read for us. It says that what? Please Romans, stay with me.
Romans 8:15.
Yes, please.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father.
Whereby we cry what? Abba Father. What it says that, for ye have not what?
Received
the spirit of bondage what?
Again
to what? To fear. Fear creates what? Bondage. So when you find people that are in bondage, watch it. There is a little fox called fear. Spirit of fear. And it's a spirit. You can't touch it. It's intangible. Are you understanding me? It's what? It's intangible. It's a spirit. It rules. It can rule up. It can rule around and evolve in your life for years. Somebody can encounter the spirit of fear from childhood and torment him or her till he dies. It's a spirit that can tarry in your life if you do not demote it. Are you understanding me? Am I communicating? Number two, the spirit of fear takes the mind captive. It takes the mind what? Captive. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. Please read for me. It takes the mind captive.
2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Verse 5.
And I read, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen.
So it creates fortress in the mind, though. Fear. It creates what? Fortress what? In the mind. And that is the devil's ticket of control. That is his ticket of what? Of control. So when fear, imagine that when fear creates a fortress in your mind, guy. You can't take the next step in your life. You always be like, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. Hallelujah. So it creates what? A fortress what? In the mind. That's what spirit of fear does. Now, if we move on, spirit of fear, number three, can lead to depression. It can lead to depression. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sure some of you are saying, hey, Reverend, this is serious, man. Spirit of fear can lead to depression. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2 to 4. King KJV. Man of God, read for us.
1 Kings.
Chapter 19, verse 2 to 4.
Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah.
Then saying, Jezebel sent a messenger unto what? Elijah.
Saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose.
Who is he? Who is speaking here? Who is he? Who is addressing who and who is addressing who?
Just by addressing Elijah.
Is it not Elijah that called fire from heaven? Please continue.
And when he saw that,
who saw that? Elijah saw that.
Yes.
He did what?
He arose and went for his life.
That is, hold on. That is running away, nobody doubt. Run for your life, ministry. Elijah ran for his life. My God. Man of God, continue.
And came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there.
Now watch this.
Four. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree.
Yes.
And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life.
Take away my life.
For I am not better than my fathers."
Is it not is it not depression? It's depression. Why you look? Is it not depression? A whole prophet was depressed because there was a woman who was after his life. Are you understanding me? And now a whole prophet tells God that, "Or die be die. This one, you have to take my life." Are you understanding me? So the spirit of fear can lead to what? Depression. Please take note of that. Number four, it causes man to fear death. The spirit of fear causes man to fear death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. It causes man to fear death. Man of God, let's go on this journey. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15.
Yes, please.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Amen. Subject to what? To bondage. Is it? And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what?
Bondage.
To bondage. You see, that's why sometimes people are there and say, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die." There is a spirit of fear that is a little fox that is around. It's pushing you what? To death. Are you understanding? You see, that is why there are times where you need to get revelation in prayer. So when scripture say you pray amiss, there is no revelation in prayer. Are you understanding me? Imagine that you go and stand at that fig tree. You go and stand at that fig tree and begin to pray that may you begin to bear fruit. May you begin to bear fruit. But the revelation is that there is a man that have cursed what? The fig tree. And the reason why the man cursed the fig tree because he was not bearing fruit. Are you understanding me? So that is why there are times where we need what? Revelation. There are certain things we might be going through. It might be a spirit of what? Of fear. So maybe you are praying, "Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me." But indeed, you supposed to pray that I pray against the spirit of fear in my life. Am I communicating? Are you being blessed? Number five, right? Torment the mind. It torment what? The mind. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Quickly, please.
1 John 4, 18.
Yes, sir.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear had torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Amen.
Amen. He that feareth is not what? Is not made perfect what? In love. He said there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out what? Fear. Because fear had what? Had torment. Fear torment what? The mind. Am I communicating? So you need to watch out for this. Sometime when your mind is going to torment, watch out. There could be a little fox called the spirit of fear. That is what tormenting you. Your mind is on rest. Watch out. There could be a spirit of fear. Am I communicating? Number six, right? Number six. Is it six? Number six. Spirit of fear can be related to an outward circumstance. Spirit of fear can be related to an outward circumstance or circumstances. if I should put it, circumstances. Matthew chapter 8, verse 25 to 26. Matthew chapter 8, verse 25 to 26.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 25 to 26.
Yes, sir.
And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. 26. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Amen.
And there was what? A great... So circumstances, outward circumstances of life. And you know this story, when these guys were sleeping in the boat, and you know, they were in the boat and Jesus was resting, and the circumstances that they faced caused what? Fear. Are you understanding me? So sometimes we can go through some circumstances and the spirit of fear might be creeping there. Are you understanding me? I'm telling you, some people are so much afraid that their own shadow in their room, they are scared. They can jump like they saw some cockroach, but it's their own shadow. It's happened to you before. Yeah. Charlie, that's serious, man. Are you understanding me? And it's so, I mean, listen, you might be surprised that some people died of heart attack because of spirit of fear. Are you understanding me? They said he died in his room. Maybe he saw some shadow. He thought it was some monster or some snake. And, you know, the heart started beating irregular. And then person fell down and died. It's a prayer topic that we need to pray. I'm believing God that the men of God in this, you know, whilst we are dealing with our 30-minute in prayer, will tap some of these things we are dealing concern the little foxes and raise it as prayer topics to pray. Because if somebody would have to enter into his destiny based on Kairos moment, not Kronos, Kairos, then it means that that person and the spirit of fear is that is encroaching in his life and he does not deal with it. It means that he can walk on this earth for years but cannot touch what God has given to him. He can blame it on everything, but there is a creeping monster called the little fox of spirit of fear that is there. Hallelujah. And the devil is an opportunist and he will do everything he can do to prey on our mind. He will use everything possible to take advantage of what is happening in our life. And then sometimes you yourself, you have a bit of fear and then he will summon the spirit of fear to now be the master over your life. Am I communicating? And numerous times it has been noted that the devil is a roaring what? Lion seeking whom what? To devour. And that is what he does. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 to 9. We have time, right? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 to 9. Let's read that quickly.
1 Peter 5.
Let's do 1 Peter. Okay, let's read. 1 Peter 5, 8. Yeah.
8 to 9.
Uh-huh. Eight. Be what?
Be sober.
It says be what? Let's say that together. Be what?
Be sober.
Two. Uh-huh.
Be vigilant.
Be what?
Be vigilant.
Uh-huh.
Because your adversary, the devil.
Why should you be sober and vigilant? Have you read the scripture that says watch and pray? Are you understanding me? Watch and what? I heard somebody say watch and pray. Open your eyes while you're praying. Hallelujah. You have to watch them. And this I would personally say, spiritually and what? And physically. Are you understanding? Be watchful and pray. Know what is happening in your, decode what is happening in your life spiritually and pray about it. Am I communicating? It says that your what? Your, man of God, stay with me. Your what?
Your adversary, uh-huh. The devil.
Your friend. The devil is not your friend, though. He's not our friend. He's the adversary. Uh-huh.
As a roaring lion.
As a roaring what? Lion.
Walketh about.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking whom he may devour.
Seeking whom he may devour. And that is what he will do. So he's looking. He's looking. He's checking. Some of us, we are not attaining the height God wants to put us because of the spirit of fear. Usro. Maybe when you dream, we saw Diana, we did a crusade, we hear healing. I'm a Reverend Cloud Ministry. Hey, bro, bro. Nabena may me pajamin sound go for Betty. David, 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 wait here. It's not from God. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. But yet, there are some keys to overcome those fears that are present in our life. And let's look at 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 10. Man of God, let's travel. Let's travel. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 10.
Verse 5 to 10, sorry.
Yes, please.
Likewise.
Likewise, uh-huh.
Ye younger, mm-hmm. submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye, all of you, be subject one to another, mm-hmm. and be clothed with humility. Mm-hmm. For God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory.
Hallelujah.
By Christ Jesus. Glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen.
Hallelujah. The keys are all in this scripture. Hallelujah. But we'll break it down a bit before we close. Amen. It has to do with the ability to be humble. Humble ourselves before God and before man. Somebody say humble. And there are various motivations that can lead to fear. And the frank reality is that sometimes because of the spirit of fear, we lose sight of God. We lose sight of what? Of God. And we lose our ability to also have faith in God. Because fear preys on our lack of trust in God. And our lack of trust in God is because of certain circumstances that we have been through. Are you understanding me? And it just speaks to us that God does not have that ability to sustain our salvation. He doesn't have that ability to carry us long in this spiritual life. It's the spirit of fear. It's still speaking to us. And perhaps, you know, sometimes fear will cause men to even forget that God loves them. Is it not true? Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is that all men, you know, you and I, we walk through circumstances one way or the other in life. And they can be summed up in cases where you lose a loved one, I lose a loved one, I lose a job, you lose your job. Sometimes, you know, financially we are not strong. We have marital difficulties. We have certain kind of problems. Sometimes it has to do with even our children. Sometimes it has to do with our relationship and all that. These are all sort of difficulties that we go through. But fear can point an accusing finger that this is from God. Fear can point an accusing finger and say that this is from what? From God. And the fact that God is in charge of everything, whatever I'm going through, he is the one that is causing all these things to happen to me. Are you understanding me? So in that case, fear will trample or step upon faith. So you realize that you are going through in life and then fear is always battling faith. Fear is always what? Battling what? Faith. Hallelujah. And it demands that God will have to prove himself. But God cannot prove himself to anybody. He says, I change it not. Hallelujah. Sometimes people pray some prayer. If you are God, you know, he's God. Even if he doesn't show himself, he's still God. Am I communicating? But we need to understand that trouble will come in our life. But it does not mean that God has left us. And that is for a fact. Trouble will always come. But it does not mean that God has left you and I. Am I communicating? He is present with us all the time. You can check that out from Matthew 28:20. But let's move on. But one thing that we need to understand, that look at somebody, say, he changed not. Can you say that again? He changed not. Hallelujah. Let's give me Hebrews chapter, Hebrews 13:8. He's somebody you can depend on. Are you understanding? You can depend on him all the time. Hebrews 13:8.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday,
exactly,
and today,
mm-hmm,
and forever.
And what? And forever. So that means that trials and circumstances will come, but it will not change God. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. He will be with us all the time in our life, in whatever we go through. He will be there. Amen. If we travel to Isaiah chapter 58 verse 11, it says that, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. Watch this. The Lord shall guide thee what? Continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And he says that, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters filleth not. I want us to read this word together and prophesy to ourselves right now. Let's read together. It's on the screen. It says that, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make thy
bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water,
whose waters fail not. Hallelujah. Now tap somebody on your right. Say, I prophesy this word upon your life. Oh, come on. Say, I prophesy it upon your life. In the name of Jesus. You see, there are other times that fear is motivated because of actions of another person. Please listen carefully. There are other times where fear is activated because of the actions of what? Of another person. And it's a typical example of the depression that happens to Elijah. Fear was activated because of what? Jezebel. Are you understanding me? No, the man was doing, he was a prophet, he was doing his ministry until it was activated by Jezebel. Are you understanding? So there are times where fear is motivated by the actions of what? Of another person. And in this case, we see that Elijah had to battle with the spirit of what? Of fear, which was activated by Jezebel. And Jezebel used the spirit of what? Of witchcraft. So anywhere there is spirit of witchcraft, spirit of fear is hovering. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So you see a woman here, Jezebel, who is so much involved in immorality and witchcraft. And you see, because of her actions, and because it was sponsored by fear, even the people around him, they feared her. Even Ahab feared her. Am I communicating? And you could see that Jezebel was so strong. And because she was so strong, you see, wherever there is spirit of fear, there is a controlling spirit. There is what? A controlling spirit. Are you understanding me? And that is why we need to break things down instead of putting fear in people. And nowadays, our children will ask you questions and they want you to give them answers, not to put fear in them. Are you understanding me? Explain it. Why will you die? You will die because of this, and that. Am I communicating? So we see that Jezebel had a strong and a controlling spirit, that he controlled everybody around her life. In fact, even the prophet Elijah. Somebody say Elijah. Elijah encountered the spirit of fear through witchcraft that he had to run away. And the Bible says that he ran for his life. Am I communicating? He ran what? For his life. He was being controlled by it. Are you understanding me? And a form of fear on Elijah, one, what it did was that it caused him to lose his peace. He caused him to lose what? His peace. And not only his peace, his confidence. Not only his confidence, his courage. Not only his courage, but he lost his security that he found in God. Because if I have God, then why do I run away? So it cost him for him to even lose what? His security, what? In God. Now he's saying that, God, are you there? He says, kill me. Are you? Listen, some of us might not utter that, Lord, kill me. But sometimes our actions is like, you know, Lord, take my life. Maybe for on the motorway. I'm in peril, a man in peril. Hallelujah. But that was how it was. And you could see that those dark and bleak moments that Elijah went through was something that was hellish. And it was motivated by the spirit of fear. And there are times where people allow that spirit to control them, control their life, control their vision, their purposes, their dreams, and everything that concerns them. But the truth of the matter is that another motivation of fear can be caused by our own imaginations. And imaginations go in places that God never intended them to go. Oh, God have mercy. Hallelujah. Fear works primarily with the unknown, and sometimes we end up worrying about the unknown things that never takes place. And that imagination is so powerful. Somebody say it's so powerful. It's so powerful. It's so powerful that it can cripple everything around your life. Are you understanding me? But I want to quickly give you the antidote to it, because you cannot leave this presence. You cannot leave this place without knowing how to conquer fear. Somebody say, I want to know how to conquer it. This little fox of fear will continue to run rampant if we do not what? We do not conquer. If we do not deal with it. But for us to deal with it, we have to know that God has given us what? The authority. Am I communicating? And there are several passages in the Bible. We want to look at just a few that will help us so that we can deal with the spirit of fear. Psalm 23 verse 4. It's a famous scripture. Yet though. Oh, come on. Let's read together. Yet though. Thy rod and thy staff, they what?
Comfort me.
They comfort me. Hallelujah. Your first antidote scripture. Yet though I walk through the valley of what? It says, I what?
Will fear no evil.
Look at somebody say, you shall fear no evil. That is a sure word. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Psalm 91 verse 5-7. Psalm 91 verse 5-7. It says that thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night. I'm going to teach you something about the night very soon. Hallelujah. It says thou shalt not be afraid for what? It says for what? The terror by night. It means that a terror comes what? From the night. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And it says nor for the arrow that flieth what? By day. Nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Nor the destruction that wasted at what? In noonday. It says, 7, let's read together. It says, 1,000 what?
Shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee.
It shall not come what? Near thee. So one might ask that, what place should we come to when it comes to fear no evil? What place should we come? And which we read in Psalm 23 verse 4. Not to be afraid even by the terror by night, which is Psalm 91 verse 5. But the answer is found in Psalm 91 verse 1. What place should I come when I'm speaking scripture? Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. What place should I come when I'm quoting scripture that thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night? What place should I come? The only place that I should go is Psalm 91 verse 1. Psalm what? And let's read together. He that what?
dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Are you understanding me? So it means that if I am saying that, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, I can only come from a place in Psalm 91 verse 1. And that is to find myself in the place of what? The secret place. Is to find myself dwelling in what? In a secret place. So you have people that are quoting, yet though I walk through the valley, but they are still afraid. Are you understanding me? Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but they can still not quench their light and sleep in darkness. The day that Bob will die, 2 a.m., they will still go and look for a place to buy some and fix it. Hallelujah. But we can only walk in that scripture when we find ourselves in Psalm 91, verse 1. And it says that he that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So if I am under the shadow, what kind of shadow of fear can overtake my life? Hallelujah. Because there is a shadow that is bigger than a shadow. Am I communicating? Shadow past shadow. You know how to combine things. Hallelujah. Shadow past shadow. So if I can walk in that place, then I need to abide under the shadow. Verse 2, he says that, and I will say of the Lord, he is what? My refuge and my what?
Fortress.
My fortress. It says, my God in whom what?
Will I trust.
So if I can conquer the spirit of fear, then I need to walk in Psalm 91. Because if I trust the Lord, then what is fear going to do in my life? Am I communicating? It says, in him I will, next verse, in him I will trust. Let's read verse 3. We are reading together. Verse 3.
Surely
he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Next verse. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and hallelujah. And that is the code to walk out of what? The spirit of fear. Hallelujah. So look at somebody, say, it is a matter of where you dwell or where you choose to dwell. Some of you, where you are dwelling is not good, oh. It's not good. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when people, I think that when people start calling us and say, man of God, I'm afraid, I have to ask you, where are you dwelling? No, I need to check first. It's like a doctor is saying, you have malaria. You ask you, have you taken any medicine? You know, he wants to be sure because he has to prescribe something to you. So if I test and I know your dwelling, then I know if your dwelling has been encroached, then we need to change here. Are you on? But if you do not have any dwelling, then I have to show you the dwelling. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So look at somebody. It's a matter of your dwelling place. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to bow down your head. Let's pray. I'll continue, God willing, next week. I want you to pray. Let's pray on Psalm 91 verse 1. That, Lord, I want to abide. I want to dwell in that secret place. Please open your mouth. Begin to pray right now. Bow down your head and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sidney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon, and shalom.